a meal to remember. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table, and the apostles with him. Luke 22:14. The most important meal in history was shared on Thursday of Holy Week. Think about the details for a minute. Jesus sent his two most trusted leaders into the city to prepare the Passover meal. The gospel accounts almost sound like a spy movie. Where will you have us eat the Passover meal, Jesus? Once you enter the city, look for a man carrying a jar of water. He'll meet you. Follow him, and he'll take you to a house. Tell the master of the house, the teacher says to you, "Where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover meal with my disciples?" And he'll take you to a large upper room that's already furnished. Jesus knew that he was a wanted man. He would soon be arrested. He would soon die. But it couldn't be today. It was time to establish something new from something old. You see, the Passover meal told the story of how God had rescued his chosen people. They ate unleavened bread because when Moses commanded the Israelites to leave Egypt, they didn't have enough time to make regular bread, not enough time for the yeast to rise. They had to leave now. Pharaoh might change his mind. They sat on the floor because they sat on the ground when they celebrated that first meal as a free people. They drank wine to remember how God had rescued and redeemed them from slavery. They remembered the blood that was put on the doorpost of every Israelite home to show the angel of death where to pass over and not strike down the firstborn. To be a Jew was to remember, to not forget. And the Jews had been eating this meal for well over 1,000 years. What you remember together keeps you together. Sometimes you have to fight to keep from forgetting. The tyranny of the urgent, to borrow a Stephen Covey term, always has a way of imposing its will on you. Jesus took the main elements of that Passover meal and he gave them a new meaning. The bread became his body, the wine became his blood. "Do this in remembrance of me," Jesus instructed. Can you picture the scene? What were the disciples thinking? "Jesus, how could you do this? You've gone too far. This is too much for me to process." There was no turning back now. Judas had made his choices. Then the Sanhedrin had made its choices. Pilate would soon make his choices. Jesus would go to the garden, and he too would make his choice. In a few short hours, the breaking of the body and the shedding of blood would start. The Passover lamb would soon be slain. Peter couldn't handle it. He would deny Jesus. The disciples would all forget before they would remember again. And when they did remember this meal, some of Jesus' followers later would forget what the meal was really about. Paul would have to write letters to straighten them out. Make sure everyone gets served, regardless of their social status. Don't get drunk on the wine. This meal should bring us together, not tear us apart. The church is still forgetting and fighting as we're trying to remember. We don't tend to kill people anymore over what they believe the bread and the wine to actually mean. The literal wars over what the blood and wine represent have been replaced with more practical and tame questions. How do you receive communion safely during a pandemic? How does communion fit in the worship service? How often should we do communion? We still have to plan services, of course, and set up the table for people to receive the bread and the cup, but what about the why? We call people of our church to the communion table every Sunday for the simple reason that our hearts are prone to wander and our minds tend to forget. We live in a Netflix culture of the now, the new, and the novel. We're conditioned to consume and to critique without really participating in the story. Jesus taught his disciples at the table. He knew they wouldn't get it the first time, even though he'd been prepping them for a while. He knew that we would need something more than a symbol to remember, something more than even a story to hear. You see, on that day, Jesus gave us an invitation to actually participate. Just as it was our sin, as much as Judas's, that put him on the cross, we are also invited to identify with his death and his resurrection. "I have been crucified with Christ," Paul writes. "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." To live as a disciple of Jesus is to live with the very spirit of God inside of you. It is to experience a life with God, thinking with God, working with God, doing everything you do with God. What better way to remember that truth than to eat the bread and drink the cup that point us to the one who made it all possible? "Jesus, I do not want to forget you for a moment. Help me to remember you and sense your presence this day.